Well, I've been doing fine on the Houston time. And when the sun sets on Coconino Bay, well, from way up where.
Hour number three. Now, this is some country music right here. Some stuff that I know and that I love. Triple Option, RBKD, Brad Kellner. He's the one bringing us this great music. All-American Rod Babers, Kevin Dunn here. Hope you're having a great Friday. Hope you're enjoying it, no matter where you're listening from, how you're listening. So many different ways to do that. All the people that have been podcasting on hornfm.com, we certainly appreciate that. Don't forget about the Horn app. You can carry that on your phone. Lots of people come up to me and say, hey, I've been listening on my phone because the schedules are all weird, and yada, yada, yada. It's a great day, though. We started to hear kind of some whispers. This morning, there could be a big day for Texas football recruiting. I wasn't exactly sure who it would be. But, guys, it sounds like it's going to be a really big day. And for more on that, I guess we should go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and go to Mike Roach, recruiting coordinator for and recruiting expert for 24/7. Mike, first off, welcome. How long has this been? How long have you been maybe hearing about this? Has this been in the works for a little while, or was it a surprise?
Somewhat of a surprise from a timing situation, but we've been working on it for about the past 48 hours straight, and I've got the migraine to prove it. So it's been a thing on news of this. This proportion can be stressful at times, but we had a great team effort over at 24/7 to just run it down between myself and Steve Wilfong, our national director of recruiting, behind the scenes, and we're able to nail it down and get everything in place and put all the stories out.
Well, let's start with pronunciation before we start to ask you about him. It's Quinn Ewers, and he's from South Lake Carroll, 6'3", 195. Is that correct?
Yep, absolutely correct. Nailed it. Really a guy who came out of nowhere. I actually saw him when he was an eighth grader after I heard that he showed up at about that size at Ohio State's camp and ran a 4.740. And thought, that's maybe a kid I need to keep an eye on. And he proved it last year with a great debut year at South Lake, threw for 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, and can run the ball as well. So he's got a little bit of everything. Our guys, our national writers have compared his, sophomore season to Trevor Lawrence and have said that he's kind of the best incoming junior quarterback since Trevor Lawrence.
Wow. How about that? Okay. Speaking with Mike Roach of Horns 24/7, if you're just joining us, the big news, big breaking news, Quinn Ewers, the number one player in the country for the class of 2022, has committed to the Texas Longhorns. Just how big of a deal is this? I was texting your cohort, Jeff Howe, a couple of minutes ago, and he said this might be the biggest get on the recruiting trail for the Longhorns since Vince Young. Are we talking that much praise and that high of expectations potentially being levied on Quinn Ewers?
From a ratings perspective, absolutely. The last time Texas signed the number one overall player in the country was Vince Young. So it's been since 2002. And, there's been a few guys from Texas who have had that number one ranking, but they haven't ended up in Austin. So this is absolutely just a massive, massive pickup for Texas, especially for a guy who, if everything could be believed behind the scenes, there were times he was leaning to Oklahoma, despite growing up a Texas fan, just because of the record of Lincoln Riley producing quarterbacks and putting them into the NFL. When you talk about not only getting him, but keeping him away from Oklahoma, that's double the impact.
Hey, Mike, what are your thoughts about Tom Herman's recruiting strategy as it relates to the quarterback position? I think it's a really forward thinking. It's a very progressive mentality. He's recruiting and stockpiling as many quarterbacks as he can get because he understands at this time the transfer market, and with just the uncertainty of the quarterback position overall, you need as many options as you can.
Yeah, the transfer portal has kind of made it to where you have to take like two quarterbacks a year, but because you take two quarterbacks a year, someone's going to transfer. So it's just kind of a vicious circle. But yeah, I think that the point is keep stockpiling elite talent at the position and let the guys who want to transfer, but make sure that the guys behind them are also elite. And I think if you look at top to bottom what Tom Herman has done since he's been at Texas, the quarterback room is one of the best in college football, especially if what we hear early in camp on Hudson Card is true. And Jaquindon Jackson was a fantastic high school quarterback. Jalen Milroe committed in the 2021 class, is another highly rated guy with schools like Bama coming after him. And then, of course, Ewers, who may be the greatest high school quarterback to come out of Texas since Vince Young. You're talking about a lot of talent there.
Yeah, lots of talent. You got to check this guy out on Twitter. It is at Mike Roach 247, recruiting editor for Horns 24/7, and they do great work. I'm looking at your website right now, and Mike Yurcich was the guy who you guys have listed as recruiting Quinn. How much of a impact did he have on this?
A massive impact. I think, you know, so Quinn grew up a Texas fan, and so Texas always had a leg up in his recruitment. I actually just tweeted not too long ago a picture of him young in a Texas outfit, kind of an old Sam Ellinger type pick. But, you know, it wasn't going to be a given that they were going to get him. I think that they were really looking for somebody they trusted to develop them. And as much as they liked Tim Beck when he made the offer, it was really Yurcich who pushed it over the top. His kind of intensity and his thirst for schematic things, you know, talking with Quinn's dad and Quinn himself, that stuff really resonated with them. So I think Yurcich did a great job kind of driving this home and putting it over the goal line.
Obviously still very, very early in the 2022 recruiting cycle. I mean, we still have 4 months for the early signing period in the 2021 recruiting cycle. But what could this mean on the recruiting trail? I guess both for 2021 and for 2022. I mean, Texas before Quinn Ewers had just one commitment for the class of 2022. Do you think we see a little bit of a chain reaction, a little bit of a domino effect now that Quinn Ewers, the number one QB and the number one player in the country, has given his verbal to Texas?
I actually wrote about that over at Horns 24/7, so any listeners out there can go and check it out. But, yeah, I think we'll definitely see some movement in that 22 class. You know, receivers, they want to go play with great quarterbacks. And, you know, anybody who lives in Texas knows who this guy is. So, you know, I would expect to see some movement in the next few months, especially at receivers, running back, skill positions. There's actually already been a little reaction on Twitter from some of the top receivers in the state of Texas. And, you know, if you're looking at a guy like Caleb Burton from Del Valle right there in the Austin area, who's, you know, number one in the country at receiver, you know, Oklahoma and Ohio State were the two schools rumored for him. But now you got to think Texas looks pretty appetizing to keep him home as well. So, yeah, I think it absolutely does a lot for the 22 class. And we'll see what it does for the 21 impact.
Hey, Mike, if you had to compare the skill set of this new quarterback to a quarterback that everybody's familiar with, give me a couple of comparisons. Obviously, not making any projections on the young man just yet. Don't want to put that on him. But give us a comparison with the skill set that we would know.
Our guy, Gabe Brooks, who's our Midlands regional analyst, does a great job covering Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. His comparison he has on him on his 24/7 profile is Phillip Rivers, and that's a comparison I really like. You know, he's a guy with a big arm. He can make just about every throw. He's mobile enough that you can use him on designed runs or read options or things like that, but it's not going to be the central part of his game. He's really more of a guy who can kind of escape the pocket and extend plays with his legs and keep it going and then make a big play with his arm. So I really love the Rivers comparison personally.
There's so many things, and you just said running's not going to be really his forte, but he can do it. So many things you look for in a quarterback, especially at a young age: anticipation, touch, arm strength. Or do any of those stand out the first time you saw him, even going back to eighth grade?
Yeah, I mean, he's very advanced when it comes to throwing the ball. I mean, his understanding of throwing people open, throwing with timing, all of those things stand out to him. I mean, I can remember the first time seeing him throw at like a 7-on-7 event and thinking he was like going into the ninth grade and thinking this kid is very different from any other ninth grader I've ever seen. So, yeah, he has advanced technique there, obviously, and he's going to learn under Riley Dodge at South Lake Carroll, which is great, you know, great name to learn under. He's in a great offense for throwing the ball, so expect to see more development and growth out of it.
Last thing, Mike, before we let you go, I'm putting you on the spot here because when I texted you, I told you we're only talking about Quinn Ewers, but any other potential recruiting nuggets you have for us, any names to look out for, whether it's class of 21 or class of 2022, any potential Texas targets that might be committing within the near future?
I can't give you a name, but I'm chasing a pretty wild rumor right now. And if it comes true, it is another very, very big commitment. But I haven't got enough confirmation on it yet.
Okay.
So could be another big thing happening today or sometime this weekend, but I've got to get some confirmation before I'm real comfortable going forward with that.
You've been working your butt off, and we lied to you because I actually have one more. We could probably talk to you all day long. But do you foresee an impact and maybe immediate impact or long-term impact with the decisions that not only the ACC, Big 12, and SEC made, but then also the decisions of Pac-12 and the Big 10 made?
You know, I talked to a Pac-12 assistant the other day who told me that they didn't anticipate any problems with recruiting in this year. But there have been some decommitments from the Big Ten. You know, part of me wonders if the Big Ten decision hurt Ohio State with Quinn Ewers, because recently I'd heard that Ohio State was kind of surging with him. And, you know, I don't know for sure. I haven't talked to Quinn to see if that was the case. But, I think that it's just going to be something that plays out. Kids are emotional. They're going to make, you know, really rash decisions at times. I think, you know, if everything returns to normal, whatever normal is anymore, you know, I think that recruiting returns to normal. But right now it's certainly an advantage time for the three conferences that are still playing.
All right, real last thing, Mike. Do the Stars win game three tonight against the Calgary Lames?
Man, I hope so. I thought they responded really well last night. I thought that was the first time. I've spent the best thing about like this week or these last 2 weeks is I've watched hockey pretty much 12 hours a day. And so I thought that was the best the Stars had skated since they got to Edmonton was last night. And so, I mean, if they can keep kind of doing that, I'd love to see Roope Hintz kind of up his game a little bit and give him a little more. But, yeah, I'm going to go with a win tonight. What the heck? It's been a good day, right? Let's make it an even better one.
I love it. I love the confidence. He is Mike Roach, Horns 24/7, their recruiting expert over there. He has been all over the Quinn Ewers recruitment. And Horns 24/7 helped drop the news about 20 minutes ago. Mike, we appreciate the time. I would say get some rest, but I know you're going to be up past midnight watching the Stars tonight. But enjoy your weekend, my man, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, boys. Go Stars.
Go Stars.
Thanks, Mike. Great job.
Thanks, Mike.
Good stuff right there.
It's great stuff.
Great news. Once again, all Fridays are great, but this Friday is a little bit greater. Texas landing a commitment from the number one player in the country for the class of 2022. How about that, taking him away from Oklahoma, right? I mean, that's the fear with any highly ranked quarterback these days. You get the opportunity to play for Lincoln Riley, a guy who is, I don't know if quarterback whisperer is a strong enough descriptor for that dude. It's like
telepathy.
That's the word I'm looking for with Lincoln Riley, with how good he is at talking to quarterbacks and developing quarterbacks. But to get that guy, to bring him to Austin once again, the number one player in the country, the highest ranked player on the recruiting trail that Texas has had since Vince Young. Still some time, obviously. It's a 2022 kid. Nothing pinned to paper just yet. But, man, this is damn good news if you're a fan of the Texas Longhorns.
Calls for celebration, boys. Tonight, Miller Lights on me. Round the house. How about that? Keep it at 96 calories, though. Not that you necessarily need that with how hot it is outside. Get older, though. You want to eat those, not drink them. Only one more calorie than Ultra, and Miller Lite is the ultimate light beer, brewed here in Texas since 1975. It is the official beer for the University of Texas, and hopefully Quinn Evers in a couple years as he comes here to play for the Horns, also the official beer for the Dallas Cowboys. So enjoy it responsibly, celebrate tonight, enjoy this recruiting news, and do it with Miller Lite.
Well done there, sir.
Well done.
All right, now taking a look at the quarterback room for the University of Texas. Obviously, you've got Sam Ellinger for this year, his senior year, his final year here in Austin. Casey Thompson, a part of the program in his third year, but second year eligibility-wise for Texas. You've got Hudson Card and Jaquindon Jackson, who are part of the class of 2020. Some guys who are true freshmen on campus right now.
Hudson put some nice weight on, too.
Yeah, looks like
some pictures.
Seeing some videos and pictures of those dudes over the last couple of days from down on the 40. Texas also has Jalen Milroe from Katy Tompkins, the dual-threat QB committed for the class of 2021. And now Ewers committed for the class of 2022. You know, Tom Herman's talked about it since day one, right? The importance of stockpiling quarterbacks. And he has done that, gentlemen. He has done just that. He has recruited pretty damn well everywhere, but he has recruited extremely well at the quarterback position, both in terms of recruiting rankings, but also in terms of numbers. Sometimes it's tough nowadays to get multiple quarterback commits in a class because guys want to play. It's as simple as that. And, you know, maybe down the road some of these dudes will transfer, but even getting multiple QB commits in one class is sometimes tough to do. Tom Herman's done a great job of getting not only numbers, but really talented guys as well, and the beat goes on in the quarterback room for Texas.
Yeah, I remember we did it, and we talked about this probably a month ago. 247 Sports ranked the best quarterback rooms in the country overall. I believe they had Clemson and Ohio State and Bama maybe in the top three, if I'm not mistaken. Texas was number four on that list.
I think this year, actually, Texas was three and Bama may have been four. I mean, there were a couple different lists. But, yeah, it was Ohio State and Clemson or whatever. I mean, they were right there.
Yeah. No, the way, I mean, it's like I said, the whole point is that Texas, yeah, I totally agree with you. At this point, Tom Herman's done a great job of being able to rejuvenate that quarterback room with a ton of talent.
And, yeah, I mean, let's give Yursich some love here because if you look at it, he was recruited by Mike Yursich and some other guys that were involved, like Lincoln Riley, and then Ohio State was obviously involved. So this is a big get. Hopefully they can use this for momentum.
A big what now?
It's a big get.
he's nervous. He's excited. That's all.
No, I'm not nervous. My voice gets goes high whenever it gets excited, and I'm also looking at this hair. Whoa, this is 80s, and he almost looks like the bad guy in Karate Kid or any 80s movie.
Sounds like any 80s movie. He does look like a villain in an 80s movie.
He's got some flow going on.
White
blonde hair, too. I mean,
is that bedhead? Like, what is that going on there?
Yeah, the 24/7 picture. I'm not sure. I'm not criticizing his hair, though. No chance. And how about this?
So he's chilling up front, party in the back.
A little mullet action going on right there. How about this? This is from Gabe Brooks of 24/7, and Mike Roach just kind of alluded to it a couple of minutes ago. But here's the description. Here's the scouting report for Quinn Ewers. Prototype frame for elite QB prospect. Good height with lean athletic build that will hold more bulk. Dynamic, natural playmaker at the QB position, shows impressive stand and deliver in pocket ability, in addition to terrific off-schedule instincts, varies arm angles as needed. Enormous production as a sophomore for a perennial 6A power, Southlake Carroll, accuracy supported by a 72.4% completion percentage and a 45-3 touchdown-to-interception ratio against outstanding competition relative to the high school level. Great touch on timing routes and red zone throws. Sneaky good velocity that allows him to drive the ball.
Sneaky good.
Look, I read this thing earlier. There's some things I don't like.
That allows him to drive the ball over the middle of the field and outside the numbers. Shows requisite downfield arm strength and vertical passing game. Athletic enough to regularly extend plays to find receivers and also be dangerous on design runs. Consistent repeated delivery but can quicken it. Athleticism lacks testing or track context. The final sentence here, the final two sentences, elite QB among nation's top 2022 prospects, regardless of position, projects to high major level with long-term early round NFL draft ceiling.
Yeah, and that was Gabe Brooks, who's a recruiting analyst for 247. One thing I like about what Mike Roach said is that he ran the 4.7 at in eighth grade. You guys know I want a little bit of mobility. And look, I mean, the reality is I have no idea how good this guy's going to be in college, but it's good news for Texas. Kind of momentum and more the overview of where they're going.
He has functional mobility is what I gather, that he's not a dual threat quarterback and he's not a guy that can hurt you with his legs. He just has functional mobility, which is fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And look, it's also one of those, I just think the longer you follow this, you just have a lot of the days where all of a sudden you think we have our guy, and this is obviously great news. He's 1-1 for 2022 for a reason, but you know, I mean, you want to get as many as possible.
Nobody can predict the quarterback position.
Or any position.
there are a couple. Quarterback
running
is
back. Running back, I mean, usually you can almost by eighth grade.
I think every position is easier to project than predicting quarterback.
Oh, I agree.
Every position.
But there are a lot of other positions where I've seen five stars, especially with the offensive line, and they come in and kind of.
That's at Texas.
Actually,
I'm just
true. Actually, at a lot of schools, but at Texas, it happens to be like 80%.
I kid. I'm just kidding.
Direct that to Rod Babers, please.
The young man will come in; he'll be fine. All right, we'll come back and we'll talk. I guess we'll talk about this commitment from this quarterback commitment of Quinn Ewers. Is it Ewers?
Ewers.
Ewers. Ewers or Ewers?
Are you saying the same thing?
Ewers.
No, Ewers or Ewers.
Like Ewing?
You just said Ewers twice.
No, I just said no, Ewers saying, or Ewers. Like
oh, Ewers. Saying Ewers
with
or
the
Ewers.
You emphasize of it's Ewers. Right?
Think Ewing.
Like Ewing, like Ewers.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Ewers.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't saying the same thing.
I'm hearing the same thing.
Are you pulling a Trey Elling here?
I don't know.
I swear I wasn't saying the same thing, but maybe it sounded weird. All right, so we'll
just
come back
tease
and talk
me,
about
Rod.
Quinn Ewers when we come back.
No, it's Ewers.
All right.
For him, it is.
Jeez.
We'll get all of that straight, the pronunciation, and of course, we'll talk about this, what could be a groundbreaking historical commitment for the 2022 class of Texas football. All of that and more right here on the Rant of the Day and the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite
and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for my rant of the day. I was going to get into tight ends because George Kittle signed a record deal for tight ends yesterday, and then late yesterday, actually, Travis Kelce actually signed a record deal that's going to pay him on average for the next 5 years around what Kittle's going to make, which is $15 million a year. So I'll get to that a little bit later on because they have reset the market for tight ends, and I think that's something that's going to continue, but we just got some good news on the 40 acres, and I want to keep the party going. The good news is for Texas football recruiting fans out there, in the class of 2022, Texas right now has a verbal commit from the top quarterback in that class, Quinn Ewers. Did I get it right? Ewers. Damn it, I keep messing it up.
Ewing.
I'll get it right by the time the young man gets here.
Just call
him 2 years before he comes.
Call him Quinn Ewing.
No, don't call him that because I want him to win a championship.
Oh.
Oh, that's pretty good. Quinn Ewers out of South Lake Carroll,
yeah.
Correct?
And he Patrick got one in college.
Oh, that's true. Georgetown.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out.
Well played.
He's playing for others. So.
So he's the top quarterback, not only in the state of Texas, but in the country.
He's got a perfect score as a sophomore heading into his junior year.
Yeah, and it's very rare to get five-star quarterbacks, period. I think they're like 35 to 45-star athletes, period, in the country every year. You get one of those guys, usually that's a really good sign. But first, I'm going to compliment Tom Herman, then we'll get into why. Yeah, I guess I'll throw some reality at this situation, too. I often do. But first, we got to give props to Tom Herman, guys. When Tom Herman got here, Texas was in quarterback hell. There was no doubt about it. They were going back between quarterback purgatory and quarterback hell. And Tom Herman, with one simple philosophy, and I think it's the kind of common sense approach to quarterbacking these days at any institution, but especially a blue blood program like Texas, you can never have too many quarterbacks. You got to stockpile quarterbacks like socks and underwear. You can never have too many of them. People are like, well, if you bring in too many quarterbacks, they're going to transfer. You can't stop quarterbacks from transferring. Nothing you can do is going to stop them from transferring. They're going to transfer anyway. So make sure when they transfer, which is inevitable, you are stockpiling with other quarterbacks who will give you options after that. That's just the reality of the quarterback situation with the transfer portal. And Texas fans should know this all too well because since 2006, that's for 15 years, Texas has recruited and signed 21 quarterbacks in that time. Of those 21 quarterbacks, four of them are on campus right now. 10 of them transferred. Two of them got injured and retired. Three ended up changing positions. And you only got two of those quarterbacks that finished their eligibility playing the quarterback position. And that was Case McCoy and Tyrone Swoops. There it is. That's it.
And he barely finished playing quarterback.
Barely. He was a situational player by the time he got done. So just from the Texas recent history at the quarterback position, Tom Herman, I think he studied that and knew, all right, you know what, I gotta come in and stockpile the position. Much like, and he was here for when this happened as well, as a GA and a grad assistant, Mac Brown did.
Yeah.
Mac Brown, at one point when I was here, we had three five-star quarterbacks in that quarterback room. Between Chris Sims, there was Chance Mock,
Vince Young.
And then there was Vincent Paul Young in that room. And Matt kept stockpiling them. And even had guys transfer in. Adam Dunn, right?
Yeah,
Westlake.
Adam Dunn was in there.
Yeah, he transferred.
No, not Westlake.
No, I'm thinking about another one.
Adam Hall. Went to San Diego
State. Thank you very much. I got my Adams and my Duns mixed up. It's tough sometimes with the CTE kicking in. But no, Adam Hall transferred when I was there. And I guarantee you, if Chance Mock was in the present day, Chance Mock probably would have transferred too. A lot of those quarterbacks probably would have transferred when Mac was here if the transfer portal didn't have the stigma that it had back then. Back then, you transfer, something was wrong with you. Something happened.
Right.
You did something. What did you do? Why did you end up transferring?
Problem child.
Yeah, like it was a stigma with it. A reputation got stained as a result of transferring. Now, Heisman Trophy winners transferring. You got first number one overall picks are transferring. You don't have that same stain that you
happy
had back then.
Happy people are transferring.
Pretty much.
I mean, no, I'm grad transfers. You'll see the release.
Yeah.
I cannot thank this school and the fans more for the 4 years I had
Shane
here.
Bouchard.
It was an absolute ball, and now I'm going to SMU.
Yeah, Shane Bouchard. And honestly, I always say this about Shane Bouchard. Shane Bouchard, you got to give him a lot of credit. That's why I think my Longhorn fans love Shane Bouchard, because they understand without Shane Bouchard, you still may be in quarterback hell potentially. Shane Bouchard gave you a bridge. He was the first quarterback, I believe, since Garrett Gilbert at the time to start all of the games. Then that freshman year of Sam Ehlinger, he was the one that came in and gave you a little bit more of a bridge. And then that sophomore year for Sam, he misses two games. Hell, you probably don't make it to the Big 12 title game without Shane Buccelli. So Buccelli gave you a nice bridge. And that's what you need the quarterback position. You're not always going to get the Colt McCoys and the Vince Youngs. But if you can get your next bridge, you can get your Chance Mock to bridge you to your Vince Young or whoever that next capable quarterback is, then that's going to be the key. And for Texas, you see Tom Herman bringing in special quarterbacks. And I love his philosophy. He's recruiting two quarterbacks every other year. That seems to be his motto or his MO, right? Hudson Card, Jaquindon Jackson. And then it was Rojo before that. Rojo's already switched positions, by the way. Then Casey Thompson. Then he had Casey Thompson and Cameron Rising in that class. Sam Ehlinger in the class before that. So probably in 2022, you're going to get one quarterback and maybe in 2023, you'll get two more. I mean, I don't know exactly how they want to do it. I guess it depends on that year. But if you start looking at, you know, the quarterback, and this is why I'm not trying to be pessimistic here, but you start looking at the quarterback hit rate, period, at Texas or anywhere. This is not just Texas. This is anywhere. It's almost like that the song by P. Diddy. We were talking about P. Diddy earlier. You know, more money, more problems. Essentially, you have to deal with that scenario when you are a blue blood college football program. It's more money, more problems. If your quarterback room is legit, you're going to have guys transferring, period. Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, nobody can avoid it. Ohio State lost Joe Burrow, for God's sakes. If your quarterback room doesn't have guys transferring, I know it sounds crazy, you're probably not an elite quarterback room. Because the quarterbacks,
they think they have a chance to actually do something in that room.
They're sitting there hanging out. No, when you're stacking five-star quarterbacks on top of five-star quarterbacks, your guys are going to transfer. Oklahoma, everybody's got to deal with that situation.
It's evolved over time.
That's just the reality of the quarterback position now. So look, think about the hit rate at quarterback, right? So even for Texas, and Texas had, like I said, 21 quarterbacks that they recruited and signed in the last 15 years, four on campus. 10 of them transferred. So out of the 21 quarterbacks, 10 of them transferred. That means basically you have to chop your success rate in half as soon as that quarterback steps on campus. It's like when a brand new car leaves the lot, right? When it leaves the showroom or it leaves the car lot there, immediately it drops, 30%, 35%, 40% in its value. That's what happens to your success rate at quarterback. As soon as that guy steps on campus, you might as well assume there's a 50% chance they're going to transfer. No, that sounds crazy, but it's not. I got the numbers to back it up, and they sound ridiculous, and they don't sound real, but I assure you they are. If you go back and look now, and I was looking at some of these numbers from 247 Sports. My man Mike Roach will probably know all about these as well. 247 Sports did a great study of blue-chip quarterback recruits since 2011. That's when their study started. And they basically found that if you're a top five quarterback recruit in each class since 2011, basically they had a 65% transfer rate for top five quarterbacks in each class since 2011. Elite 11, another great quarterback camp, right? They do a lot of quarterback development there.
That is the quarterback camp.
99 of the 220 quarterback prospects that went there from 99 to 2017 transferred. That's 45%. The SEC from 2001 to 2015, all right, they saw their blue chip quarterbacks, four star and five stars, transfer at a 60% clip. There have been 19 five star quarterbacks since 2010. From 2010 to 2018, all right, 19 five-star quarterbacks in that time span, 12 of the 19 transferred. That's 63%. Even if that guy comes on campus, and I'm sure he's awesome, there's more than a 50% chance that he's going to transfer. That's the reality, people. I'm not making this up. There's probably about a 10% chance, 15% chance he'll get hurt,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Or he's not as good as you thought he was.
Or he'll change positions like Rojo. Right. Or like some of those other quarterbacks.
John Childs.
It's just, I mean, I'm just giving you the numbers. And this is the case. So think about how hard it is to get a successful kind of a successful consecutive season starting quarterback. It's really, really hard to do. So when you get a guy that's really, really effective and really, really kind of a transcendent, transformational player there, you realize Texas is getting a VY and then a Colt and then a Chris Sims before that VY and then a major before that. These days, it's damn near impossible to do unless you're a blue blood. And even when you're a blue blood, your success rate or maybe your failure rate, it gets in the way of that development time and time again. So I don't mean to throw cold water on everybody.
I think it's
but
facts.
Just you look here at Texas and you go look at the recent quarterbacks Texas had, and I know this guy is awesome. He's Garrett Gilbert great, but look what happened here with Garrett Gilbert. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm just throwing it out there. Reality will tell you it's really, really hard these days to keep all those quarterbacks in the room. But lucky for Texas, Tom Herman knows that.
Yeah.
And he knows there's a 50% chance this guy's going to transfer. He knows he might have to Jaquindon Jackson, 15% chance he's going to change positions. There's a 65% chance that Jaquindon Jackson will transfer or change positions before he's done at Texas. That's the reality of the quarterback position, people.
You hope really, it's changed really positions.
Right?
If it's going to be one of those two.
Bill Walsh said, very few people know how to evaluate quarterbacks, and even fewer know how to develop them. And he was damn right. And that's the reality.
Yep.
So
It's good news, but that's the reality. That's just how it works out about it for a guy who's in the 2022 class.
Yeah. But the state of Texas, though, it does make the state of Texas look really good. I mean, we are Texas, the quarterback mecca. And we're here in the heart of the quarterback mecca with Westlake and Lake Travis being the most prominent quarterback factories in the country. But the state of Texas just continues to impress. So if he's the number one player in the country in 2022 and he's a quarterback, if he's great, he's just going to add to the decorated list of quarterbacks that are now in the NFL from the state of Texas, now at the college level from the state of Texas. I think last year it was 19 quarterbacks from 17 different high schools in Texas that were on NFL rosters. I would say 7 or 8 of them were starters, depending on if you had Nick Foles as a starter. There's no state in the history of America that is producing quarterbacks at the rate of the state of Texas. Even when California was doing it really well, they weren't even close to what Texas is doing right now. It's unbelievable.
I'll try to give a more positive number.
Go ahead.
To end Rod's rant of the day. And I know you're being very realistic, but man, it's too depressing for a Friday, man. How about this? The highest rated QB prospects ever, according to the 24/7 sports composite rankings. Number one on this list all time is Vince Young. He had a perfect 1.0000 rating. Turned out pretty good. Quinn Ewers also has a perfect 1.000 rating. Now, he still has 2 more years of high school, so that is subject to change. But number 3 on this list, highest rated QB ever according to them, Trevor Lawrence, turned out pretty good. Number 4, Justin Fields, turned out pretty good. Number 5, this is one of the transfer guys, one that didn't turn out very good, Brock Berlin, started at Florida, went to Miami. Terrell Pryor, number 6, played QB all in college, but obviously switched positions after, but was really good for Ohio State for a couple of years. Number 7 is Bryce Young, who's the freshman at Alabama right now. So, you know, evaluating quarterbacks, I agree 100%. You've got a million numbers to back it up. But 24/7 sports, for the most part, like their highest rated guys, have at least been very, very good at the collegiate level. Hopefully that could be the case with Quinn Ewers, and hopefully it can happen at the University of Texas.
Something to consider also, the track record of Texas at producing 5-star athletes into NFL caliber players. Yeah, since 2008. Texas getting a 5-star player.
I was doing the positive
has
thing.
Has a 30% chance to get drafted into the NFL. If he goes to Bama, he's got an 81% chance to get drafted into the NFL as a 5-star player. He wants to get drafted to the first round. If he's a 5-star and comes to Texas, 10% chance to be a first-round pick at Bama. That number is 52% if you're a 5-star. So Tom Herman, he's doing a good job on the front end bringing in the talent. Now we got to see what Tom Herman does on the back end with it. He's got to develop that talent, turn it into NFL prospects so that more 5-stars want to come to Texas because they believe that's the best pathway for them to go to the NFL. Right now, Texas is the worst Power 5 school in college football at turning 5-star prospects into NFL players.
He might be
I'm not making that number up. That's real.
He might be listening. Don't say that.
No, we've given those numbers before. Those are facts.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, good stuff. Rod's rant of the day. The great news, the breaking news, if you're just joining us, happened within the last hour. The number one recruit in the class of 2022. Quinn Ewers, a quarterback from South Lake Carroll, has given his verbal commitment to the University of Texas. We'll continue to talk about that all program long. We also have Off the Record 2 coming up here on the Triple Option with RBKD. I think all three of us are into eating food, but are we into watching other people eat food? Apparently, that's a trend that is growing. We'll give you the details up next.
She was storming through the house that day, and I could tell she was leaving. And I thought, oh, she'll be back. Till she turned around and pointed at the wall.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out here with my man Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse, and Brad Kellner's at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. It is a Country Music Friday. Did I just miss a famous country music artist? Who is this? George Strait.
George Strait.
There you go. Look at Rod's ear.
It's a safe guess.
He's all over it.
I
he
be,
knew George
BK
Strait,
BK gives
though.
You a look of judgment when George Strait's on does. And you don't know it. So I got. Yes. I didn't really know the song as much as I knew the look on BK's
yes.
face, ready to pounce on my ignorance.
I hadn't put it together yeah. yet, but you're right. He's giving me that look, too, like, and I've said George Strait. I know that look.
Yeah. So that's what I figured out.
Now I'm going to start giving that look all the time.
Just so we'll just say George Strait.
You guys are screwed now. You shouldn't have told me that.
Hey, who was that fullback for Kansas State in 85? Give me a look. George Strait? I don't know.
That's him.
Or is that Robert Strait at Baylor?
All right, guys. Time for a little bit of Off the Record here, gentlemen. All right, how about this? This is an adult story. I don't think we need earmuffs for the kiddos, but just in case adults out there, you got kids in the car, we may venture over into some adult territory.
It's weird.
It's weird and it's kinky, so just it's a heads up here. Just trying to give you a heads up because I don't want people complaining on my Twitter timeline. Mm. All right, so a 500-pound Florida man, so you know it's going to be freaky.
That's hot. No, it just is. I mean, just the visual.
Oh, it's hot as hell. Yeah, he's probably a lot of sweating going on. 500 pounds
really
Florida.
Hot.
Well, apparently this guy has eaten his way to a fat fetishist fame online by eating 10,000 calories per day to maintain his massive round gut. Apparently, he said it's a challenge, said Brian, nicknamed Gainer Bull online.
I like the maintain part of that, too. She's been maintaining her model figure.
He consumes 3 large combo meals and at least 3 sides per meal. Amounting
per
to
meal?
Yeah, so 3 large combo meals and at least 3 sides per meal. So he's got a main course and 3 sides. That's 1 meal, and he eats 3 of those.
Now, are we talking the clown here or just combo meals at all the usual suspects?
That's what I don't. I don't know if they're specific about that. That's a good question.
Probably all of them, right? Probably BK. He didn't discriminate with those.
Yeah. So apparently he is the 44-year-old Palm Beach resident after he just eats and makes a glutton out of himself, essentially. He puts these pics online, and apparently there are people on social media who adore him. He's a self-described, what he calls, an erotic weight gainer. His road to internet stardom began more than 20 years ago, gentlemen, when Brian began bulking up. That's what they want to call it.
They put quotes on that.
After repeatedly weighing a lean 185 pounds.
This guy went from 185 to 500?
500 pounds.
That's sad.
God.
Yeah. So fast forward to today, and now on OnlyFans.
He's got an OnlyFans.
Thank God for BK that we know what OnlyFans is. Folks pay $20 a month. Basically, to subscribe to his account, and he's racked up more than 11,000 likes, and his financial contributions apparently are going through the roof. And Gainer Bull is which his name also posts pics of his belly to Instagram, much to the delight of his many 8,000 followers.
Golly!
So
you're telling me I could have been getting paid for this?
You see his gut?
He's a big boy.
Wow!
500 pounds, dog.
Some fans even encourage Brian to eat more to aid to his pound packing pilgrimage. They say you should get McDonald's 40-piece McNuggets. I eat those, too. So apparently this is a fetish for some people. They get a little turned on by watching him just pound nuggets and fries
and
burgers.
Pay for his OnlyFans, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a freaky thing
for
them.
That's kind of what OnlyFans is, you know? You pay for that explicit behind-the-scenes content. And there's usually some sexual gratification going on there, too.
There was one poster that put in there, ready for a belly rub. Who are these people? This is sick.
And remember that woman who lived in Austin who was who was making six figures on OnlyFans by being it's kind of a pet fetish?
A dog. Yeah. She was acting like
a dog. She was acting like a dog.
She
was paying
fetch.
Money for it.
She'd walk around on a leash.
Drink from a bowl.
She would drink from a bowl. She'd eat dog food like Trey.
Outside of the eating.
We should have been turning our bets into money. We've screwed
you
this
guys,
up.
You guys
and
should have been OnlyFans.
I should have been turning my fast food lifestyle. Like if I knew I could be getting paid for that, I'd be.
You still can.
Be doing that for years.
Why don't you go now? Well, what's
just
stopping you from starting OnlyFans account right now?
Start eating a bunch of food?
Yeah.
I don't want to lose this job.
You think an OnlyFans account of you doing erotic activities and fetish activities would lose this job as a result?
Potentially.
What would you do though?
Naked. You don't have to get naked and get explicit. You could just be eating and talking freaky or something.
Rubbing my belly.
Yeah. Why can't you keep it PG-13 and make money? Yeah.
Tell them you're acting like a sloth. There's got to be some sloth lovers out there. I mean, hell,
I
got to
find something
stuff
that hasn't been done before, right?
But, you know, the thing is, the people that are actually paying him aren't helping him, because I'm reading some of these messages. You should get McDonald's 40-piece McNuggets. I eat those, too. I mean, they're trying to get him to 600 pounds, and I guess his wife is, what is this?
He's got a wife?
Perhaps he could even enlist the services of a Pennsylvania fatness trainer.
His wife?
He's helping his wife achieve her goal of weighing 600 pounds for their wedding day.
What?
Is that real?
I'm reading the article from the New York Post now.
Oh, wow.
She's trying to one-up him or 100-up him?
I guess.
By going 600?
Well done.
Oh, my God.
So she's a fatness trainer. Like, literally, she...
That's not a thing.
Yeah,
no, it's
it is.
Not.
Instead of being fit, she's trying to get fat.
I know what it's supposed to be,
trainer.
But it's not a thing.
Guys, this is
nobody
where...
Nobody wants that. No one's
fatness
paying for that.
Trainer.
This is where two things are coming together. We've gotten too polite, and we've gotten too PC, where that's fat shaming. Well, no, I mean, it could be health shaming a little bit. This is not healthy. Healthy for either of them. Oh, and then also, you mix that with our sick... sexual twists that we have in this country and really all over the world.
We
go
say,
to Japan. Yeah,
everywhere.
Exactly. But those two things come together and this dude's on OnlyFans making money.
What? But isn't a third?
Which that's the worst part about this. I'm happy for him for that.
It's
continuing his lifestyle.
No, it's the same thing with the pandemic, right? The pandemic is being exacerbated because on top of the pandemic, or at least underneath the pandemic, is an epidemic, which is we are a very obese country. We're very
overweight. No doubt, Rod. No doubt.
We just are. I mean, we are more so than any other westernized nation. And a lot of those physical issues that are caused by obesity, heart disease and high blood pressure and hypertension, all the kind of stuff, that it makes you high risk for the harsh symptoms of the COVID. So strangely enough, it's a pandemic on top of an epidemic. But yeah, we are freaky too. We're sexual. We're obese. We like our food. And this combines both of those kind of sicknesses,
hey,
if you will.
I'm not going to hate on other people too much for this one, because it seems like Brad Pitt was doing this before OnlyFans started.
What?
Like, he wasn't just doing this because people started paying him. Like, this is something he's been going on for a long time.
Oh, yes. Gainer Bull?
Eating all this.
Gainer Bull.
Okay. Yeah, I went with the nickname of Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
I thought you guys would like it.
I was like, why is it called him Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt. It needed to be done.
Well done.
It's more than bread. It's frozen nuggets that have been fried around bread.
Well, frozen nuggets that'll be fried around Brad Pitt doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
Fair enough.
I just love in our world, though, that this could be a job. I mean, think about it back in like 40, 50 years ago, the stuff you had to consider, this is my job, my profession. You know, now you can be on OnlyFans, freaking just eating McNuggets and people paying you money to do it.
Yeah.
What a beautiful country we live in. That's amazing.
It would have been a lot more fun with our high school counselors, especially you and
exactly.
I back in the day, because you could throw out so much stuff.
I want to be a video gamer.
What do you mean it's not a job?
It isn't. Exactly.
They would have told you that if you would have said, I want to play in the NFL, they would have said, oh, you know what the percentages
that's
are.
Like, that's unrealistic. You're right. Yeah, I want to go on OnlyFans and
I would make some
nuggets.
Stuff up. I'd have some fun with this.
Damn.
The internet has created more jobs than any world leader
Amen.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. By far. Not even close.
And most of them freaky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Freaky or sexy related.
There's your off the record two. Wow. Florida man is now erotic weight gainer, man. He eats 10,000 calories a day for fans on the internet. Just when you think you've seen it all, you get something like this. It's the triple option with RBKD. Three down, one to go on a Friday. We'll get back into the big breaking news of the day. Texas landing a huge commitment for the class of 2022. Plus, we'll talk some general college football. A Bill of Rights is being proposed by some politicians to try to expedite this process of paying student athletes. We'll give you the details up next.